The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz, and we are joined. We have him on? All right, fighting tonight. UFC on ESPN 15, Frankie Munoz versus Frankie Edgar, my bad. But on the undercard of that, our boy Ike Villanueva getting another shot in there against Jordan Wright. Ike Villanueva, our guest, Houston's own Hurricane Ike. How you doing, brother?
Man, what's going on, bud?
How you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm ready to go, man. Back at 205. I'm licking my chops right now. I'm ready to go.
I mean, obviously, you get thrown in there for on short notice. And in a way, when the UFC calls and they say, hey, short notice, you've got to fight up a weight class, blah, blah, whatever. If you've never been in the UFC, chances are good you're going to take that shot. And I'm sure they told you, hey, we'll give you, if whatever happens in this fight, we'll give you a shot at 205. Was that the case?
Yeah, they gave me, regardless of what I got, I got a 3-fight deal out of it. And now is my time to really jump on it. You know, me, that tough guy, blue collar mentality from back home. Hey, man, any opportunity I get, I'm jumping at it.
So they put you in there the first time with Chase Sherman, who's not only a heavyweight, he's a gigantic heavyweight.
Yes,
like,
sir.
What was the feeling like in there with a guy that much bigger than you? Did you feel, like, could you feel the difference in power versus what you've been feeling at 205?
It wasn't the power. It was just the size difference and just the leg kicks. The hand power wasn't nothing I've ever seen before. It was just the leg difference and understanding, hey, man, This is the league, man. This is the NFL of everything. And, you know, they got weight classes for a reason. And I was just lack the muscle size and all that, where I fit better at 205.
And you fought at 185 in the past. I mean, so it's a huge weight jump for you. What's your feeling coming out of the cage? I mean, obviously there's disappointment when you lose one, but did you feel like, you know what, I went in there, I did it against a guy who's way bigger than me, and I'm in the big time now? Was it sort of was there some sort of positivity you could spin onto it versus a typical loss?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, man, I ate some good shots. Some of his best shots, he made it to me. He goes, man, I threw my right hand, you walk right through it. I mean, the only thing that got me was a leg kick, but as a martial artist, you got to accept, your downfalls, be admit to it. I wasn't in the greatest shape. I knew I had a puncher's chance. I was just hoping to, everybody knows, if I land, you're going out. I just couldn't land. He had a great game plan. He stuck to it, and I just couldn't execute, man. It was just a bad night for me, but hey, man, I walked away that cage, knew I had to make changes, and I did that. And you, as everybody can see, I'm out here in Vegas for the past month at the Extreme Couture, really pushing it, man.
What do you know about your opponent, Jordan Wright? I mean, how much do you know about him? Have you seen? Are you a guy who watches film? Have you seen much on the guy?
Yeah, man. If you look at it, man, it's kind of the Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of pissed off that I'm pissed that he has that nickname, because I'm a big Chris Farley fan, man. I'm at the KO a guy, the Beverly Hills Ninja, man. I'm like, well, yeah, keep that on Rodeo Drive. You can't bring this to Vegas. Hey, man, I'm ready to eat, man. I got kids to feed back home, and it's going to be a bad night for him because it's just a terrible matchup for him. I mean, I'm too aggressive, and when I'm at 205, I'm in shape, and it's going to get scary for him. But, hey, part of reality, man, he signed up for it, so good luck to him.
He is undefeated in MMA, 10-0. He's a guy who's accomplished quite a bit so far. Albeit, a lot of it in like Alaska and on really a smaller circuit, but he's also a guy who was a middleweight. He was a guy moving up in weight class. Do you think that's going to be to his detriment to be trying to step up to 205?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. He weighed in at 200 today. And, I mean, I'm hydrated up. I'm running back up to like 220 already. So it's just, man, I still got another 15 hours, 20 hours more. And my goal is to get up to 225, 230. And be ready to go. It's going to be bad for him. If he tries to wrestle, you already know it's not going to happen because I'm going to sprawl and put my nuts on his forehead. He tries to shoot on me.
I talked to Daniel Pineda on Monday, another Houston guy, got a win on Saturday, and I asked him, like, you know, how different it is fighting in COVID times. And I mean, obviously you haven't had a fight in the UFC when it's not COVID times, but how different is it for you? Just like, how is it tough to cut weight? Is it tough to diet? Like, what's it been like, relative to a normal fight camp?
So back home, it was hard to get, like, my meals. I got sponsored them with our radio sports agency. I'm sponsored on my meals. But for the past month, or maybe two, I couldn't get my meal sent to me because, you know, they kind of shut that down. And the diets, everything, getting on 205. And that was hard. Like, you know, certain places are still shut down. Out here in Vegas, we can't use the hot tubs that much. I had to get a paper signed from the PI. That way I can use the hot tub to cut weight yesterday. But it was kind of hard, man. But, hey, man, I got the weight cut done, and, hey, it's done. But it's been a struggle during this COVID time. I can't wait to have the fans back. But it's my job to take care of business, so that way I get the opportunity to be in front of the fans.
So did you tell me you've been in Vegas since your last fight?
I've been in Vegas for the past month, finishing up the training camp, finishing strong. I was having problems with finding 205ers back home. And much love to 4-Ounce Fight Club. That's my home. But I just really need to come get a push and see where I'm at. And since I got out here, man, Coach Eric Nixon has, man, just been nothing but big help, man. Pushed me, give me some of the best training partners I have out here. And they're loaded with talent, man. Yorgan De Castro, I got Misha, who's a top 10 light heavyweight in the world, a couple Russians out here. So it's been great so far.
When you start, and I've heard people have differing takes on this, because some people love to go out and train. Once they get to the UFC, they love to go out and train with other top-tier guys. But then there's guys who are like, I don't want to train with everybody because eventually I might have to fight them. I mean, are you do you worry about that? Are you a guy who's just not worried about showing something to a training partner that you might be fighting down the road?
Yeah, it's a martial arts game. I mean, it's their job to stop it. You can show it. You can look at film all you want, but you still got to take the power. It's like one of my coaches out here, Ray Sefu. Ray's a legend. He's a man. When Ray talks to me, man, I just soak everything in. But Ray gets in there, spars with us. And Ray is like a heavy-handed. He teaches all the guys the same things he's shown us. So it's like, man, we all know it, but it's our job to try to stop it next time if we have to fight each other. But, man, there's no hard feelings. I love the atmosphere. The competition daily is something I need to really push me to get to the next level.
Well, what's the what are we looking for a finish, I assume? I mean, you just go in there, be aggressive, put your hands on him?
Because I'm getting tired of hearing the negativity from my last fight, man. It's just, you just hear it. It's like, man, he looked bad. He was out of shape. But I took it on 6 days' notice. I was eating tacos for lunch, working full time. Since that last fight, my wife, you know, she supported me making this decision full time. So, man, I'm gonna take care of business. Minute and a half, less than a minute, first round. This is for everybody back home, man. I'm really taking care of business.
Man, I want to know, what was the moment for you? Because, I mean, obviously you had a pretty good start to your career. I still talk about the time when you fought Chico Young and you guys got blood on my shirt because I was sitting cage side and you got blood on me there in Legacy. Yeah. But you hit like a you hit a tough spot where, you know, it was like, and to be fair, guys like Justin Ledet and Robert Drysdale who both eventually made it to the UFC. But what was the turning point for you where you really felt like, you know what? I've got to change something up. Like, was there a moment where you're like, I've got to take this seriously or just not do it?
Yeah, it was a make or break time. I knew I had to step away, man. I was going through divorce. So I lost my father during those times. And I just stepped away. But in the back of my mind, I always told myself, you're not coming back. You're fully 100% committed to it. And since I came back, I've been on the tear, man. You got to look at the last two victories I came. It's just funny because just last year I was fighting for the Fury title. And I told everybody, I'm going to be in the UFC. And just a year later, here I am getting ready for my second fight. But taking care of Roger Neves and Rashad Cutler, I said, man, really, you know, give those guys credit. Those really pushover fights to get me into the UFC. So they're sleeping on me a little bit, but, hey, I'll show them all who I really am.
And before that Chase Sherman fight where you made it to you went to the second round, it had been a long time. I mean, your longest fight in 3 years had been 3 minutes. Yeah. I mean, do you feel like you're built, if it does turn into a 15-minute war, that you're built for it right now?
Oh, no, yeah, no doubt, man. Out here, you know, getting used to this elevation out here in Vegas, I'm glad I got the opportunity to come out early. And, yeah, man, I'm ready. Wherever it goes, I'm ready. I mean, all aspects of the game, we're ready for it. Thank you to Farms Fight Club, Renzo Gracie's back home, and everybody, man. But I'm really ready to put on a show, man. But I'm just going in there to take care of business. Just get him out of there, man.
All right. That's Ike Villanueva. You can see him take on Jordan Wright on ESPN tomorrow night. Appreciate you, brother. Get yourself rehydrated. Get some food in you. And everybody here in Houston, looking forward to seeing you on the big stage again, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Ike Villanueva, Houston's own Hurricane Ike.
Man, I really hope he wins tomorrow.
I do too, man. He's a showman. He's a dude who goes in there looking to knock people out, and that's what the UFC likes about him.
Well, and that's what casual fans like. They like to see knockouts. They like to see fun.
And also, I'm not going to lie, the guy he's fighting is really handsome, which kind of makes me say, well, I wish that handsome guy would get knocked out, because I hate it when guys are handsome and good at fighting.
All right, we're going to take a break. Todd should do a shot.
Todd, you want a shot?
You want a shot of Aquavit?
You want a shot of Aquavit?
Oh, come on. This is an Aggie shot.
Yeah, open it up with your Aggie ring. Yeah. I mean, that's an Aggie thing to do, right?
Yeah, I will sing the war hymn if you will take a shot. All right, quick break. Get some Blitz. ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Ladies and gentlemen, for our next fight, please welcome from Huntington Beach, California. Are you ready?
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and time for corrections and clarifications. Andrew W.K. was 2003 Madden, not 2004.
God, you guys don't know anything.
Well,
what a bunch of idiots.
I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have taken your word on that.
Well, we got straightened out on it, but 2004 had some really good songs too, and Aaron says they're all explicit. Dude, just get on there and edit. I just want 2003 and 2004 for the rest of the show. Can we do that? Is that too much to ask?
Well, it's too much to ask on the fly for him to edit music while he's running the show.
He only had the one shot, okay? He's fine. Somebody said, AJ, how can I get your UFC picks? Please help.
They will be up on pregame.com.
And then somebody's giving
probably
me...
Probably later this evening.
And then somebody's giving me grief for putting a picture of my dog as my Facebook profile instead of me. Can I just say, wouldn't you rather look at a beautiful young dog than a disgusting old dog? And I thought it was a cool picture. So, you know, you don't like it, tough. I'm not about your guys.
You're out on negativity today.
No, I'm no negativity, man.
During Friday, the happy hour show. No. You're not going to bring Fred down.
Okay, everybody. And speaking of non-negativity, everybody wants my hurricane prediction. All right, here you go. And I kind of want to hear what the guy from Nova Scotia says. Houston, Texas, a big storm coming. You guys have heard him, right?
That's Juggalo Trey's buddy.
Yeah, I know. Juggy loves him. All right, so here we go. This is my prediction. Vinton, Louisiana, you're going to get rain and a storm, and it's not going to be that bad because the media is going to oversell this damn thing, and it's going to Vinton, Louisiana. No, okay. Houston, no Beaumont.
That's where it is.
See, and everybody got mad at me because of that Imelda or whatever it was that wrecked Winnie, and I said it's not going to be that bad. Dude, I predict Houston, okay? And I know we have listeners in the 409.
You can't make predictions for every
No, town. No, it's just for Houston.
You're a specific handicap.
I was not wrong about that. Houston got nothing. Winnie got nuked. I feel bad about that. I have friends in Winnie. I have property not too far from there. I feel bad. But that was not a loss because Houston got nothing. We are not going to get hit hard. And everybody in Beaumont, I got a bunch of emails from Beaumont friends. Why are you wishing this on us? I'm like, no, I'm not wishing it on you. I'm just telling you, it's not going to hit us. It's going to go east of us. And, you know, I prefer it go south, like way south. Like, no offense, northern Mexico, but you're just desert, so nobody cares, right? You can, you know, go down there all you want. But I don't want it to hit Galveston. I don't want it to hit Beaumont. My prediction is if it does hit us, it ain't going to be that bad. If it does hit Beaumont, it ain't going to be that bad. And it's probably not going to hit either one of us. because it's going to be somewhere between Vinton and Lake Charles.
Okay.
Which means Beaumont gets nothing.
So you're saying it's none of our concern.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about it. And, oh, my God, the panic has already started. Load up on water. Load up on this. Dude, it's just, it's not, this isn't Harvey. That's the other thing. They all want to put Harvey on this. It's not Harvey. It's not Ike. It's going to be a storm. It's going to rain for a little bit. Let's not turn this into Armageddon. And I mean, I do get that weather guys want this to be bad, right? And my favorite thing, I don't know if you guys will remember this guy, Dr. Neil Frank. You remember Dr. Neil Frank?
No.
Hurricane expert?
No.
Aaron, do you?
Yeah.
And like, I can't remember the storm, but it was like headed for northern Mexico. And it was a big one, man. It was like a Cat 5. And he kept saying, it's going to take that northern turn and go right into us. It's going to turn north. And it was almost like he wanted it to do it because, you know, nobody's going to watch him if the thing goes into northern Mexico, right? It went into northern Mexico. Mm. We got nothing. And I'm like, you know, I get it. You know, it's just like us with sports. When the NFL's going on, when there's stuff you guys want to bet on, everybody wants to listen. But weather people, they try so hard, man. It's like, oh, we need to be worried. We need to be worried. Let's not overdo it. And 409 says, Fred, it shows Galveston now. Storm is moving south. I get that the models are putting it in Galveston.
But Fred's model is
putting I'm just telling you that based on years of experience and a 76-2 record, I'm saying Vinton to Lake Charles. And I'm not afraid to be wrong. So there.
So if you get this right, I think we should have Granato talk to Wendy about making you the new head or chief meteorologist.
You know, that would be fine. I think Steven, the weather guy, should get that job. I got enough going on, Aaron. I have other projects that are more important.
Because what if they put you on retainer as just hurricane expert, Fred Fowler?
Well, not hurricane, but hurricane and snowstorm expert. Because that's my only two misses were Hurricane Ike. Okay, that was a bad one.
That's a bad miss.
Yeah, that was an extremely bad miss. I'm like, oh, no, we're not getting anything from this. And then I didn't have power for 2 weeks. And then there was, in the same year, like my 57-0 streak came to an end. Because that same year, Matt Dean and I are doing the show over at the old place. And there's like, oh, we're going to get snow. We're going to get snow. I'm like, we're not getting snow. No, not a chance in hell. And then it starts snowing outside, and Matt's like, what is that? And I go, no, that's sleet. That's sleet. That's not snow. That's not snow. And then, yeah, it turned into snow. So those are my two misses. And, you know, that's not a – I mean, the second one's not a bad miss because who cares, right? That's kind of cool to get snow here. But and Chuck says –
the first miss, bad, though.
Chuck says if Fred gets it wrong, he gets a haircut. Chuck, I got to tell you –
a mohawk.
No, we're not getting – listen, you – you Nazis that want me to get my hair cut, it's not going to happen, okay? I mean, it will at some point on my terms, my choice. So if you don't like it, suck it. I'm sorry. I like having hair. I haven't had it for 25 years. So it's kind of cool to have a rock star hair again. And I will cut it at some point because I'm a responsible businessman who has to do meetings and stuff like that. So, but I'm as of now, quit trying to get me to cut my hair.
I'll stop.
Look at it this way, and this is just for you guys. What if you didn't have sex for like 15 years, and suddenly you were having sex? Okay, that's most marriages. But suddenly you're having sex again? Are you going to let me tell you to stop?
I wouldn't.
No, why would you? So, and somebody's talking about mohawk. I had a mohawk in high school. We had a tradition at Lamarck when you were a freshman. You had to get your head shaved, right? And sometimes you do creative stuff.
So sounds like hazing.
It was hazing. I mean, and
but at least it's not homoerotic hazing.
No, there was some of that too. But when they did it, they gave me a mohawk. And, you know, at the time, you know, I'm a like 16, 15-year-old kid, skinny in shape, pretty good looking for the, you know, at the time. It was kind of cool. A mohawk now, God knows, I would look like, I don't know, Carol Baskin. I have no idea. So, Bill says he heard Show is a better hurricane predictor than Fred.
Oh, well, he is great with predictions. We've got to admit that.
Show says the storm is coming. Go and get as much water as you can. Make sure your batteries are set. Texans camp is going to be canceled for 3 days because the storm is going to hit us, and it's going to be worse than Ike. It's going to be worse than Harvey. It's going to be a comparison of the two, and we're all going to die. That would be what Show would say.
All right.
Yeah. So. Oh, boy. Yeah, Holy Rastus says, fill up gas. Can I ask a question? Why do they tell us that? Make sure your gas tank is full. Because if the thing were to hit, I'm not leaving my house. I can't go anywhere.
It's true.
Why do I need a full gas tank?
In case you need to evacuate.
I'm not evacuating. That's just dumb.
Well, it's not always dumb.
No, it's...
That's what people in New Orleans said right before it would have been really smart.
Yeah, but we're not New Orleans. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Worst Case Scenario Guy, for hitting us with that again. There are areas of town, yes, where, like, if I lived in Meyerland, I might want to get out.
Yeah.
But I don't.
But, Fred, you have to understand, when they say make sure your gas tanks are full, they're not talking to just you.
Well, no,
they're talking to everyone, because not everyone lives in your complex.
Just me got 40 inches of rain in our neighborhood and didn't flood a street. I'm not going anywhere. I'm sorry. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, then specify it. Say, if you're in a flood area, fill your gas tank. Don't tell everybody to fill their gas tank. Bob from down the street doesn't need to fill his gas tank, but he's being told the same thing.
Here's another thing. It's probably smart to fill your gas tank anyway, because if a hurricane hits, guess what's going to happen after the hurricane hits? Gas prices are going to go up.
Not in this economy. By the way, okay, I know you have to do this read, so I'm just going to...
Put your mask up.
I'm going to put my Boomer Naturals mask
up. That's right. All right. Everybody, I know everybody's got to wear a mask now. You got to wear a mask everywhere you go. I get it. It's not fun. But if you're going to wear one, you might as well wear one that protects you. And that's why I recommend Boomer Naturals. Comfortable, breathable, and it's got nano silver woven into the fabric, which is going to protect you, block those tiny drops and particles from getting into your nose and mouth. And that's what you want when you put on the mask, because you want protection. You might as well, if you're going to wear one, you might as well get one that works. They offer have the neck gaiters, like Fred was modeling there. And another great thing, they donate a face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities, helping tens of thousands of Americans in need, including veterans, Native Americans, people who otherwise wouldn't have access to masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use my promo code Hoffman. You'll save 20% on your entire order. That's promo code Hoffman at BoomerNaturals.com. You'll get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com. And when you go to BoomerNaturals.com, once again, save 20% with the promo code Hoffman.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Somebody says meteorologists are projecting it's going to interact with Tropical Storm Laura and end up near Corpus. Don't trust these guys. Listen, they're going to they're going to combine and make a category. That was very good. A category 10, and it's going to be the worst. Stop. They're trying to scare you so you'll keep watching. I'm telling you. Florida, you get Laura. I'd rather it be Karen, but you get Laura. And I'm sorry, Louisiana, you're going to have to take whatever this other one is. Do we know the name yet?
I don't know.
I think it's just TD 14.
I think they just have numbers, 13 and 14, right?
Yeah, well, 13 became
it became Laura, right?
Yeah.
14 is the one that they say, oh, it's coming. It's not coming to Galveston. 832 says, as a Galveston surfer who loves hurricanes, it'll hit Louisiana but send a sweet swell with offshore winds. Absolutely. I'm happy for you guys to have waves there. That's great. But, it's not going to get us. And even if it does, it's going to be like, okay, I have to say this. Because they're trying to scare you. They're trying to make you think it's the worst thing ever. Look at the stuff we've survived weather-wise over the last few years. Nothing's going to be Harvey, okay? That was a, I know it was a once in 500 year storm. We're not going to get a Harvey again. We're not going to get an Ike again in my lifetime, maybe in yours. I don't know. But not every hurricane is like that. A lot of them are just a little bit of rain. We had the Memorial Day floods. We had the Tax Day floods. When it rained, rockets loose. We had all that. So we can handle anything, guys. Let's just don't go panicking and loading up. Like, I went to Specs today on the way in because I needed to load up on alcohol for the weekend, not because I'm worried about some storm. And it's packed because people are scared. And don't be scared. Somebody said, I think Fred just condoned side pieces. What did I say to do that?
That's not shocking to me.
Rockstar hair is a little exaggeration on your part, LOL. Have you seen, like, Klaus Mine from Scorpions lately?
No.
He's a rock star, okay? Maybe it's not, you know, sexy 80s hair.
Have you seen Elvis lately?
Yeah, better hair than Elvis.
No.
Well, yeah.
You and Elvis look similar right now.
No, I got him beat. Dude's been dead since 76 or something.
And that's what's making it close.
No, it's not that close. The only benefit of a hurricane would benefits Houston is if it were to clean up the mess on Kirby, more specifically Bill O'Brien and his tenure as GM. That's mean. That's mean. Somebody's power outages can leave pumps off for a while. Yeah, it can, but when has that happened? I mean, Ike.
Yeah.
Okay, those are worst-case scenarios. This is the thing, and I'll give AJ credit, because he's worst-case scenario when it comes to Houston teams, but not when it comes to Houston storms. Oh, it's going to be like Ike where we don't have power for 2 weeks. Which sucked.
It sucked.
It did. But come on. If I've already had the Rona, should I still wear a mask?
Yes.
I had an email exchange with somebody today.
Can you share?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to share.
Okay.
And he was calling me a sheep for wearing a mask and saying I was wrong for telling people to wear a mask and that I should use my platform to tell people that they have a choice.
Except often you don't have a choice.
Well, but here's what bothers me. You're telling me I should tell people not to wear a mask because freedom, right?
Freedom.
Did I not wear a mask before they were
required?
Yes. Wasn't that my choice?
Yeah.
As an American?
It was.
So who's the sheep here?
Bah, bah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly,
Fred, you're a sheep.
No, I made the decision on my own as an American with free will to wear a mask. But somehow that makes me un-American and I'm a sheep because I made that choice. It's because you didn't agree with my choice. So, you know, and I mean, I was nice in my reply, but I did kind of say, wait a minute, who's the sheep here? Who's the one spouting this stuff about and who's the dictator? Who's the one telling me what I should tell people to say? I've said all along, make your own choice.
Well, now you can't really make your own choice.
No, and now you can. And fortunately, most people are making the choice to wear the mask. But now it's a law. But he's still going on and on about how, well, it should be my choice. Well, you know what? It should be my choice to run naked through the streets and show off this beautiful body and this gigantic.
No, that's illegal. That's a crime.
But also illegal.
That's a crime.
Guys.
So. People keep saying 14 looks like Houston from a guy who just got off the call with the National Weather Service. Said they both did jog east. 40 to 60 mile an hour. I'm sorry, 40 to 60 mile an hour winds. Come on. Dude, that's a thunderstorm in the afternoon. And I don't, I just, yeah, I don't want to make people, Fred, how did you do during Alicia in 1983? Okay, I was before I was a weather predictor. That was also the worst storm I've ever been through in my time in Texas because we lived in Lamarck right off the coast. And the thing about Alicia was my dad had this old wooden house, I mean, 9 miles from the coast, right? And there were tornadoes. You could hear the tornadoes going over us. And the house was like expanding and contracting. And it was one of the scariest things I've ever been through. And the next day, when we went outside and looked at where the tornadoes had destroyed all these houses, I mean, it looked like somebody had dropped a bomb. And that's the one time in my life I've truly been scared during a storm, because I thought the house was going to blow up. And our neighbor, two houses down, his house did blow up.
Damn.
So
I hate exploding houses.
Yeah, so that was the worst. But that was worse than Ike, and that was worse than Harvey. So, Fred, are you willing to give an over under on the cost of your hair procedure? I'm looking at getting it done, but worried if I can afford it. Just do the free consultation. It's different for everybody. Like in my case, it was 2,451 follicles. That's pretty expensive. Not everybody needs the same thing, though. You can probably get it a lot cheaper. And they also have financing options. And Dr. Linville will work with you. So you can do the consultation for free. And if it's too much, then you can say, okay. So when people don't want to wear a mask because of government, I asked if they sent back stimulus checks.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah. Did that count?
A little bit of that came out of my nose.
Yeah, that was almost like maybe a little vomit coming with that. Huh?
I almost vomited earlier when I shot that kombucha.
Yeah, that was gross.
That's not good.
I didn't.
Tyler was like, you want to take some of that home? No.
Yeah, why would anybody want that? Ugh. So, 713-780. ESPN 713-780. But it says Fred's going to be on the guy on the roof yelling for help. Dude, I got to tell you, I got a 3-story place. I got 38 inches of rain during Harvey. Unless somebody drops a nuke in the ship channel and there's a tsunami, I ain't ever going to be on the roof. I'm just going to tell you that right now. My part of town doesn't flood. And I have 3 stories. So there. As a teacher around Beaumont, after dealing with the first day back of social distancing in-person school, I say bring hurricanes on.
Well, not a bad call. Yeah. We talked a little bit yesterday about the draft lottery, and the Warriors end up with the second pick. They're so unlucky.
And I said this last night to the people I was having dinner with. I'm willing to bet you, Aaron Smallchild, whoever the Warriors take, if they don't trade the pick, which it sounds like they want to do, whoever the Warriors take will be a better player than whoever goes number one.
Wouldn't shock me.
Because they know what they're doing. And Minneapolis does not. So.
Yeah, I'm interested now who they – and mostly the real question is who do the Timberwolves want? I mean, obviously, they're not going to want Wiseman because they've got Karl-Anthony Towns.
Which means Charlotte's probably getting Wiseman because I don't think the Warriors are taking him.
I don't think so either. Although they could look at him as like a future Draymond Green replacement.
True.
Which is entirely possible. But I don't know. I think it'll boil down to do the Timberwolves want LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards? And everything else will fall into place after that. But you're right. I could see the Warriors trading, and I don't know what they'd be looking for exactly. But
I saw an interesting proposal that they would trade the pick to the Knicks for Randall and their pick. I don't hate. I think Randall on the Warriors would be a good fit.
I don't know. Especially now that the Warriors have Wiggins, I don't know where.
I think Randall's better than Wiggins.
I don't know. I think we've seen Wiggins be kind of hamstrung by his surroundings.
But he's also just not anywhere near what he was supposed to be.
No.
He was supposed to be the next LeBron.
But you know what? If you put that guy in that offense with the Warriors, he could look a lot better. Could look a lot better. Speaking of LeBron, not a great night for LeBron last night.
But yeah.
And didn't matter because...
How about all that? Oh, are we worried about the Lakers? Are we worried about the Lakers? Not so much.
You know who should be worried is the Nugs. The Nugs, not only did they lose today... They got their doors blown off, and now they're trailing 2-1 to the Jazz, which I guess it wouldn't be a real massive upset, but for all the hype that the Nuggets were getting.
But can I just say, whoever wins that series, those are two perennial teams that are really good in the regular season and choke in the playoffs. Nothing's going to surprise me. Whoever wins that series is getting knocked out in the next round.
Even if it's against the Mavericks?
Yes, even if it's against the Mavericks. Okay. By the way, I don't hate the Mavericks. Oh, this I love this song.
And then the Trailblazers, their hopes take a little bit of a... I mean, they had pretty slim hopes to begin with, but they lose Zach Collins, who's going to have a... he has stress fracture in his ankle. He's done for the season. He's going to have surgery. Mm-hmm. So, missed a lot of the season after shoulder surgery, then came back for this, and then now he's hurt again.
This is... I've had too much to drink. What band is this?
Jet.
Jet. Yeah, they got some pretty good songs, too. I like Jet, okay? If you guys want to make fun of me for liking Jet, I like Jet.
I like that you couldn't remember what band it was that you liked.
Well, I mean, it was...
Yeah. I think you are going to have to Uber home.
I think so. Well, I'm finishing my little tiny rest of my beer and then my coffee, and then we still got an hour and 15 minutes.
Maybe.
But I don't know. I'm not doing more Aqua Vita shots, I can tell you that.
Why not?
Aqua Velva, whatever the hell.
You didn't like it?
No, it was fine. It
gets you there?
It knocked my thing in the dirt.
Good for you.
And
Aaron, how you feeling in there? Happy?
I'm fine.
You're having a happy hour.
He's still got to do Creighton and Braddock tonight. By the way,
do you think they'll do some Aquavit?
Oh, hell no.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, because
we've already established that they're not team players.
No. And
actually, you know what? Kudos to Jason, who did his shots.
Yeah, he did. Patrick
actually did do a shot.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Because all he did for the whole time I was listening, I was like, I'm not going to be bullied into this. I'm not going to be bullied into this just because you guys do it.
And then he got bullied into it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
AJ kind of gave him the death stare for about 30 straight seconds. And then finally, right before he went to break, he just kicked it back.
Okay, because what happened was, like, AJ came on right as I was getting home, so I didn't hear what happened after that. But all I know is that he was just, I'm not doing this! And then, yeah. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Late hits with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock tonight at 7. I have a little beef with Braddock that I want to get to at some point today about something he said this morning, or yesterday morning when I was listening.
What was it?
Well, I want to get to the gym of the day, but we'll wait on the gym of the day. Let's do this, because he's caught up on this hypothetical where, because he met this guy playing poker whose dog jumped in the water, an alligator attacked it, and he jumped in to save his dog. He's like, would you jump in to save your dog? And the guy lost his leg, right? If I remember correctly.
Yes.
Well, anytime somebody tries to give an alternative scenario, he's like, no, this is a scenario. This is a scenario. And I got to tell them, I don't know how they did things in South Carolina at Walmart, but if I'm out on the water fishing with my dog, well, first off, I'm not taking my dog out there because I know she'll jump out of the damn boat. But if I did, I'm not going to have to get in the water with the alligator, because you know what I have, because it's Texas? I have a gun, and I'm going to, and that alligator attacks my dog, he's going to get lit up. And that's what's going to happen.
Well, it depends on what kind of gun you have. I mean,
well, I'm taking a shotgun and a 9mm.
I don't think a 9mm is going to hurt an alligator.
Oh yeah, it will.
Oh,
they use 22s and 177s on the swamp people.
Man, I feel like they've got tough skin. I'd want a 45 if I was trying to kill an alligator.
If you go for the spot in the head, yeah, that 22 will puncture real easy.
Yeah, you catch that sucker in an eye, by the way.
Well, but here's the other thing. What are you going to do? If you shoot the dog, if the dog's in the alligator's mouth,
I'm
shooting the thing before it gets to my dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
If I see it going, like, because alligators are kind of like sharks, from my understanding, is that they're on the water line where you see them, and then they submerge before they attack. The second before I see it, like, as soon as I see it on the water line starting towards my dog, I'm shooting. I don't care.
Yeah, I got 14 rounds. I guarantee you 9 of them are going to hit him.
Yeah.
One of them's going to get him in the eye, probably. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, he loves playing out that scenario, but it's, like, this is Texas, man. It's not how we do things.
I'm pretty sure if we got Jason to drink enough of that Aquavit, he'd actually admit what he denied to me and Patrick multiple times when he brings it up, that he, if his, one of his kids fell in with an alligator, he'd just walk away and be like, yeah, well, I can make another one. He says he wouldn't, but I think he probably would.
Well, I first off, I would not. Yes, if I had no other choice, now I would have a giant knife and I'd be whacking at that sucker. Of course, I'd go try to save my dog, but well, I would never be in that situation. That's why it's silly, because one person got in that situation. Dude, if that happened and my dog jumped in the water and an alligator was going after it, and by the way, I probably don't have just one 9mm and a shotgun. Probably going to take my well, I don't have it right now. It's in Lamar, but I'd have my 357 with me.
I'll be honest. By the time your dog jumps into the water into an out like with an alligator, if the alligator's around your dog, it's probably too late to get a gun or anything like that. You probably on that same note, it's probably too late to jump in and think you're going to save it. That's one of those like,
well, this man, guy did. That sucked. He saved his dog, but
I don't think I'm doing that.
Well, but in my scenario, I got to tell you, I'm going to have the, if I'm out on the lake, I've got a gun with me.
What are you doing on the lake with a gun?
Because there are alligators out there. I know there's alligators out there. I'm not stupid.
Yeah, I never think, like, when I'm packing the boat to go out on the lake, I never think, okay, I've got sunscreen, I've got some beers, and I've got my gun.
It depends on if you're just floating the river, you're not worried about alligators. But if you're in a place where you know there's alligators, I've always got a gun with me.
That's where this hypothetical fails again. If I know there's alligators, I just don't get in that water.
That's fair, too. But if you do, you're going to be prepared in case an alligator comes to your boat. That's all. Anyway, but he was not hearing anything other than, oh, no, it has to be this scenario. Well, no, because did you ever see Mobsters with Christian Slater? I don't accept the options because I would never put myself in that position without weapons. Somebody asked, am I the only one that thinks Obi Toppin is the best player in the draft?
Obi Toppin's probably the best dunker / inside scorer in the draft. Obi Toppin's nowhere near the best defender in the draft, and he doesn't have a jump shot. So he's kind of like Giannis without defense. So I don't think he's the best player in the draft. I think he was the best player in college last year, but college in the NBA. And when you're at Dayton, you can dunk on everybody. In the NBA, he's going to have to come up with some sort of offensive game plan other than just get the ball, drive down, and dunk it. It doesn't work in the NBA like that. It works for Giannis, but he's also a freak. And Obi Toppin, he ain't built like that.
Somebody says, you can't legally kill an alligator in Texas laws, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, you know what? You can't legally kill a person either. But if you're trying to kill my dog, person, alligator...
Is it legal for alligators to kill dogs? What's the alligator law say?
I'm just saying, if you're going after my dog and you're a person or an alligator or another dog, then you better start making your peace with Jesus.
And if I kill an alligator because he went after my dog, I'm not calling the game warden to report myself.
Exactly.
So unless there's a game warden right next to me, in which case he has a gun and I tell him, you know what, you're here, you protect my dog.
Here's the other thing. This is where I'm out on this scenario. My dog is smarter than that.
Well, mine too.
My dog's not getting in the water with an alligator. My dog might sit in the boat and growl at it, but she's not jumping in the water to attack something.
No, mine isn't either.
Now, if the alligator got into the boat, I think my dog would probably try to fight it.
Yeah, mine too.
If the alligator gets in the boat, it's me and my dog against that alligator. I got to be honest. Because the other option is both of us jump out of the boat into water with presumably more alligators.
Right. No, I'm down.
While I wouldn't have a gun, I would beat it with an oar or whatever I could find and hope that my dog is a good tag team partner. To be honest, I hope she bites down on his eyeball or something, and I'm going to hit him with the oar. That's what I would do.
Somebody says, you could kill a person over a dog. If a person were trying to kill my dog, I would have no compunction about putting a bullet in him.
Look at you.
I'm sorry. I mean, what kind of a human being tries to kill a dog anyway that's not hurting them? Like, okay, if you're defending yourself, okay, that's one thing. But if you're intentionally going to kill my dog, I will shoot you, and I will not feel bad about it. That's on you. That's not on me. I'm just defending my dog. So, yeah.
It would depend on which one of my dogs, if I would be willing to kill someone.
The old one's pretty old, so, you know, I don't know how much time she has left. But, yeah, if for some reason somebody went after Well, no, both of my dogs. If somebody went after my dogs and were going to kill them for no reason, I would absolutely shoot them. I wouldn't feel bad about it. Does that make me a bad person?
I'm loyal to that corgi because it does live in my house, and it was my kid's Christmas present, and they love him. But am I going to kill someone over it? Probably not. My shepherd, though, if someone was trying to kill it, the truth of it is if someone was trying to kill my shepherd, they would need to have a gun, too, and then it would seem fair. If they had a gun, then that's a fair deal. But if someone tried to kill my shepherd with their hands, I would probably just watch it unfold, to be honest.
Shepherd yeah. minus 800?
Yeah, I feel like the odds are in her favor.
The same thing with Derby. If somebody tried to kill Derby with their hands, I'm just going to sit back and say, okay, you chose poorly. But Dynamo won't go after a person for any reason. And so if somebody went after her, she would just kind of cower. And yeah, if you tried to hurt that dog when she did it, I wouldn't feel bad about shooting you. Wouldn't feel bad about taking a machete and chopping your damn arm off either.
It's pretty heavy.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I will. I don't think it's against the law to protect yourself and your dogs. If somebody, because what kind of person does that? What kind of person?
Well, that would be a bad guy.
That would be a bad person, right? So am I going to feel bad about shooting him? No. I'm not going to go out of my way to shoot somebody. But yeah, if you try to hurt my dogs for no reason.
Don't you hurt my dog, bitch.
Don't you make me hurt your dog. No, I'm...
That's
I'm,
what I would say. I would yell at her. Don't you hurt my dog, bitch.
I mean, I'd probably shoot
That's
him.
All I would say.
I'd probably shoot him in the kneecap and just, you know, just to do that. But no, I don't see why I should apologize for that. Because if somebody is trying to hurt dogs that aren't bothering them for no reason, then they're on my list of evil and... Yeah, I'm gonna defend my dogs. So, all right. Well, guess what? All of you, liberal Fred. Yeah, you guys can all suck it. Now you're all disappointed. Oh, you thought you were a liberal. No, if you F with my dog, I'll shoot you. I'm sorry. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off.